Good evening, everyone. This is KC5GOI, your Denton County Amateur Radio Emergency Services Emergency Coordinator. Now that storm season is upon us, I hope everyone's had an opportunity to, or has on their schedule, getting to one of the National Weather Service Skywarn training nets. The last net will be in June at HAMCOM, and that will be a little bit late for this season, but you never know what you might use come this fall. The things I want to talk about tonight is going to be how we submit a report, report format, how an ARES Skywarn net is run in Denton County, things to expect from your net control station, and things the net control station expects from you, the spotter in the field. One of the things that's important is to understand that Denton County runs under the ARES protocol. We do not require for Skywarn that you be certified with a RACES number or an ARES number or anything of that nature. All we request is that you've had some form of a Skywarn training net. Main reasons being, one, your safety. One of the things I worry about the most is when we have spotters out in the field is, are they being safe? Are they being responsible? And the NCS, you know, is going to worry about things like that, and they don't want to put you in harm's way, but you are reporting the ground truth back to the net control station so it can get back to the weather service, so you need to know what you're looking at to keep yourself safe. The next part of having that Skywarn training class, whether you did it last year online, have done it this year, or you plan on doing it sometime later in the spring, is that it also helps you understand what it is you're looking at so you can have good information for your report, or is it even something that you need to report at all? So you'll hear, if you listen around, not just North Texas, but a lot of ARES groups now have their repeaters online, so you can listen to them, or you can listen to some of the nearby repeaters. And you're going to find a vast array of how nets are run. From the way Dallas County does theirs under RACES, which is extremely tight and controlled, and that works for them, but doesn't really work for us, to some that, you know, frankly, they're very, very loose. You'd think it was some sort of a chat session going on the repeater. And we don't want to be doing that. One of the things that you need to keep in mind, for those of you particularly that have done your ICS 100 and 700 classes, is that we are operating for the National Weather Service. And the way I like to look at that and put it into perspective is the Weather Service is our customer. Okay, and for those of you that have done your ICS classes, you'll understand in incident command that we're there to provide information that the customer is requesting. So we modify our operational practices, our nets, to satisfy that need. It's been about 3 years, maybe four now, but several of us in Denton County and other surrounding counties were invited back to the National Weather Service office for what they called NCS training. It was a very interesting event, and I did attend and learned quite a bit. So to give you an example of what they did, we had two different sessions, one being what they absolutely considered the worst case scenario. And I feel sorry for Pat Heineken because he was the one that kind of got picked. When the Weather Service was talking to all of us, they says, we're going to need two volunteers, one for each session to run a net control. Nobody stuck their hands up. I was kind of waiting to see who was going to raise their hand, but when nobody did it, I kind of sheepishly put my hand up, and not to toot my own horn, but I am here. Mark Fox at the Weather Service said, guy, not you, and they picked Pat, who happened to have been sitting next to me. Mark had too many nice things to say, so I don't want to, you know, hey, guy, great, awesome, all that. But he picked on Pat. So what we did was we went back to the area where they operate their radios. Now, if you haven't been out to the open house, one of the things I want to impress upon you, and this is why you're going to hear me talk about quiet repeater a lot tonight. The Weather Service has multiple radios in the area, and it was, if I remember correctly, 8 total radios. And what they have done is taken the audio output from each radio and put it into a right or a left headphone. So you have one operator potentially running two stations at a time. Now, they also have this audio going out a larger speaker for the forecaster who happens to be in charge that night to listen. Now, the forecaster has all of the background noise from the radio stuff going on and all the office duties, because there are people still there doing other things other than storms. There's also the river forecast for flooding, so they're all there working, and what they're looking for are specific keywords. So if there's a lot of excess chatter, it really doesn't help them out. So to drill home their point to try and make us better net control stations and to bring that information home to you guys, is they put together in a 45-minute period a couple of years' worth of worst practices of nets and net control operators. And mainly it was, from the bad aspect of a net control operator, it was lack of control. So Pat had 45 minutes of people quit keying, people submitting reports that were totally irrelevant. There was the infamous goat chili discussion. There was, hey, can we close down? There was a period where they actually had an incident occur where they weren't getting any reports, so they canceled a severe thunderstorm warning just to have a few minutes later, I want to say it was golf ball size hail being reported, and they had to reissue the warning. Because there was no throughput, or the lack of the ability to have throughput, that, you know, put some people in danger. And that's one of the things we're trying not to do, is put people in danger. We're actually trying to help them stay out of it. And I know most of you guys get that. So I'm going to cover, because I know we've got a lot of new hams. I've seen a lot of new KG5 calls. So for those of you that are new to the net tonight, whether you checked into the net or you're monitoring this online too, or listening to this audio, because I do plan to post this after the net for people to listen to, you know, welcome to amateur radio. Everybody has their own reasons for getting into it. A lot of people it's MCOM. Other people it's just a rag chew or get on HF and contest or whatever. But welcome to this wonderful hobby and opportunities to do public service. Now, over the last several years, we've had kind of a feast or famine thing going on with severe weather, and it's not been typical, and I blame the drought conditions for that a lot. We have not had the quantity of skywarn nets that we have had in past years because of the weather patterns. But when we've had severe weather, it's been more on the extreme side. And many of us can attest to that, whether it's vehicle damage, house damage, or even the flooding that we had last year. Okay? It's been feast or famine for us the last several years. So it's, unfortunately, it makes us a little on the rusty side because we don't get as much practice in, but we still have to do this, and we want to make sure you guys understand best practices. For those of you who have been around for a while, guys, please listen to this again. I wind up finding some old-timers off and on that are repeating either old bad habits or they're not listening to net control, and it causes us some problems. So Skywarn in Denton County, how do we use it? It's always a structured net when we activate. Now, there's a difference between activation when we're just monitoring. So you may hear myself or Gerald or Andrew or Matthew or somebody else monitoring, okay? So we're waiting to see, are things getting kind of ramped up bad enough, because radar can only tell so much. We don't always get notification like we would like to from the weather service, but, you know, guys, they are really swamp busy, and since we're Aries, we can self-activate. Races cannot do that. That's an advantage we have. So when we go into a formal net, we have several things that are in line and in place on purpose. So one of those is that we take check-ins, and the first time you check in, always give your call sign phonetically, okay? That gives net control time to copy it down and make sure they've got it right, but it also does a little bit of acclimation from the voice to the call sign, so it makes it a little bit quicker for the stations later. After you've given your call sign phonetically, you need to wait to be acknowledged by net control station. We could have multiple people checking in at the same time, and particularly at the start of a net when we're building some sort of a roster. Wait for the net control to come back to you, and then he or she may ask you some key questions, and most of it's going to be location, availability, things of that nature. If you can't hang around for an undetermined amount of time, let Net Control know. It's going to dictate to them how far out that they send you. Now, some of you may be mobile, some of you may be fixed, and that's okay. Fixed stations have as much value as mobile stations, so you don't necessarily have to go out running around. One of the areas that we fall short is basically north of US 380. Now, that's some of the less populated areas, and we do have a couple of hams up in the Sanger area, Bolivar area, and I have some intermittent people that show up in Pilot Point. We end up taking stations out of Little Elm and running them out to Pilot Point because it's pretty much a clear shot for them as long as the traffic hasn't bogged down on the Farm Market Road going from the Colony up through to Pilot Point. Sanger and Bolivar, we wind up bumming people out of Denton area and running them out to places like just west of Crum, out 380, out west of Ponder, those areas like that. Again, these are lower populated areas, but there's a reason behind that. One of the things to keep in the back of your head is the role that we play in all of this. The National Weather Service office over in Fort Worth does not control severe thunderstorm or tornado watches. Those come out of the Severe Storms Lab out of Norman, Oklahoma. But what the local Fort Worth office does do is issue warnings. As the data collectors, we are a part of that system. So even though we're maybe sending people out to the western side of the county where it's less populated, what that does is allows the Weather Service to come up with warnings as things approach other areas such as Ponder, Argyle, Denton, Louisville, Sanger, places like that. So putting people out in less populated areas is just as important as having them in town. So if you're mobile, that is very handy to us. But if you're stationary, you still have value by looking out to your west. And that's where most of our storms normally come from, is the southwest. Now, summertime kind of throws that in a little bit of an odd pattern because sometimes they come out of the southeast. But thankfully, those are rare. When you go to submit your report to a Skywarn Net, we're really looking for a kind of a narrow data set. Things we're interested in are wind speed, wind direction, hail sizes, lowerings, a tornado, or flooding that blocks streets. And I'm going to go into each one of these items in just a moment. Information that we do not gather, do not want, and actually waste time on the air are media reports, rainfall rates, lightning reports, city siren activations. Now let me go over these things, why we want them and why we don't want them. Wind speed and direction helps us determine, has the system passed by you? Is it coming from the south going north or north going south? So forth and so on. The wind speed is also an indication of how strong the storm is. Now this isn't the only indicator that we're going to be looking for, but it is an important thing to know. Also, it will tell you, do you need to move or not? Hail size reports. This gets a little tricky sometimes. The one thing that we don't want to hear on our nets, and the Weather Service doesn't like to hear either, and frankly it gets on a lot of people's nerves that know better, is if you use the term marble. Think about marbles for a minute. They come in different sizes. I mean, they can be about the size of a dime, or they can be up to the size of a 50-cent piece. People just use the term marble. Does that really tell us anything? Well, the answer is no. We want to use hail reports in reference to things that are known. So you would use things like P, penny, dime, nickel, quarter, 50-cent piece. Then you go into half inch, three-quarter inch, 1 inch, egg, golf ball, baseball, softball, grapefruit. Commonly known sizes. We want to avoid using something vague. Now, when you were at your Skywarn training class, and if you haven't, this is something you need to be looking for, what's the difference between a lowering and a tornado? Now, you hear the media misuse this a lot, drives me up the wall because it's not accurate. A lowering is something descending from the clouds, particularly the rain-free base. It is not touching the ground. Tornadoes are confirmed contact. And to give you a refresher, if you can't see it touching the ground for whatever reason, be it trees, buildings, whatever, you don't see any debris, Report it as a lowering. Don't report it as a tornado. Accuracy is critical here. But if you see, if you can confirm that it is touching the ground, or you see debris, then by all means, report that as a tornado. Street flooding is something that gets a little sticky sometimes because it's a sore spot. If you report a street that is flooded and you say it's impassable, then we find out that you drove through it, we got to rescind that report because you contradicted yourself. And remember, guys, I know some of you guys may have these nice big 3/4 ton, 1 tons, or a good heavy half. Those things float just as easily as a car that's 4 inches off the ground. That force of the water is going to be pushing against the tires, and that's going to shove you across the street. So some of those really big tires have much bigger surface area, and they can be easier to push. Also, your weight on a fat tire, you don't have as much pounds per square inch on those big tires as you do with some of the skinnier tires, so the rain's going to shove you across. They may be handy for the mud and the sand, but when it comes to flooding roads, no, not really. So if it's impassable, report it as that. Find another way around. Things that we don't want to hear are media reports. I tell you right off the bat, by the time the media reports it, it's old. Okay, they've probably gotten it from us or the National Weather Service, so you know it's already dated. We are normally ahead of that curve. Rainfall rates. The Weather Service has said this more than once. We are not interested in reporting rainfall rates because, frankly, those are best guess. And they've had some rainfall reports that were doozies, okay? They've had reports that had it been raining 4 inches an hour for the last 10 minutes, you know, an area that normally doesn't flood should be knee-deep in water by then. So let the radar do that job. The radar does an excellent job with rainfall rates. Report street floodings that are a blockage, but don't give us inches per hour rate. I don't even want to know if it's measured rainfall rate. City siren activations. Guys, I can tell you for the city of Denton, they listen to us, okay? City EOC listens to us, and the cities make the determination whether to activate a siren or not. Each city has its own criteria, okay? Some are more lax, some are more stringent, and it's up to the citizens of the town to know what that criteria is. But I don't need to be hearing siren activations on the repeater. So if you'd hear it, just keep it to yourself. You probably already know what's going on anyway. So let me talk about the nets for a moment here. We always operate under a directed net. So what a directed net means is you have a net control station. Now that station's usually inside Denton County, but sometimes Most of the time the net control station is inside Denton County, but sometimes Andrew helps us out by operating through a link frequency out of Richardson. So there's something to be said about being detached from the county that's being affected. The station losing power and losing a station on commercial mains, if they don't have backup power, you know, that can sometimes be a problem. I've had the power fail at the house and I've lost the computer, but I keep my stuff on battery backup. By having a net control station option operating outside the affected area, that, you know, gives kind of some redundancy if you want to look at it that way. Directed nets, you're going to be, you know, you're going to... Under directed net, the net control station acts basically as a traffic cop. If you meet reporting criteria, and I'll go into that in a moment, then you follow that reporting criteria. If you have something that matches, then you check into the net and you let net control know. That is one of the responsibilities for the net control station, is to be that traffic cop, and it's to help keep good flow of data, but help maintain the repeater on a level that is quiet. Why is a quiet repeater important? Well, it allows people to break in. Last year, I remember having to remind stations to not quick key because I saw repeated occurrences where the National Weather Service was trying to get in, and because people were quick keying, the National Weather Service could not get in. That slows things down. That creates frustration. That prevents the flow of data going through. So tailgating is bad. One of the things that you need to bear in mind is most net control stations have a different link to the National Weather Service. While the Weather Service is listening to us in most cases over the repeater, we also have kind of a back channel where we talk to them. So the net control station is going to know some information ahead of time that you guys may not know, and it's because of the radar interpretations. Oh, and that was one other thing. We don't want to hear radar interpretations or requests for radar determinations. One of the things the Net Control Station is not there to do is to provide radar interpretation. That is the National Weather Service job, not ours. Your Net Control Station uses radar to help position stations, but they're not there to give you a forecast or to interpret that radar for you. NCS also is responsible for querying stations that are in the affected areas. Net Control Station is also responsible for maintaining the minimum reporting criteria. And I'll go into minimum reporting criteria in more detail in just a moment. Net Control is also responsible for checking stations out. So if you're finished and it's an appropriate time, please check out. If you don't, we're not real sure if you're safe or not. We've had occurrences in the past where we've had stations go missing on us. In one occurrence, and this has been probably about 15, maybe almost 20 years ago, we had a station that we knew was in a really hot area, and he was actively reporting, and he pretty much went quiet in the middle of a report. Well, we didn't hear from him for several minutes, repeatedly called him, and he did not get back to us. So we started rolling two other stations to his area to check and see if he was okay. And remember, guys, that was the earlier days of cell phones, and this station didn't have one. Well, about 5 minutes later, the station popped back up online and told us what happened. The wind had gotten so strong on 380, he got blown across the road into the ditch. What he did was he got out of his vehicle, went to survey any damage to his vehicle, and get himself out of the ditch. He didn't check out, so we were kind of wondering, are you okay? Is your truck upside down? Are you alive? Something like that. So please check out if you have to leave a net, but there's a time and a place to do that. If we're in the middle of chasing down a lowering, that is not the time or the place. Just, you know, please hold on to it and make sure to check out when it's appropriate. Your role as a spotter is to gather the information that you see. It's important that you report what it is that you actually see. Don't embellish, don't assume, don't guess. Only report what you see. Don't inflate a report. Don't try and downplay a report. Don't do anything like that. Just report what you got, and if you need some clarification, we try to get at least one to three other stations looking at the same area from different vantage points. That has paid off. We have had occurrences where one station reported a lowering. Another station from about 4 miles away to the south of them didn't see it, or they saw it. So if we have multiple eyes on something, that helps us out. Your role as a spotter is to also report your location in a method that the National Weather Service can use. One of the things that we got out of our NCS training class those years ago was how the Weather Service wants these reports formatted. One of the things that they've run into problems in the past is interpreting where a system really is. And it's important for us to know where you are, thus the encouragement of using APRS. We really encourage that, guys, so if you got it, please do it. If you don't, please look at getting into it. It's not as expensive as it used to be. But anyway, we've had some occurrences in the Metroplex, not necessarily Denton County, where a station has given their physical location, and then they gave the report. Well, when it went to be corroborated by another station with a different vantage point, it created a position question that was literally 5 miles off. And that's a big deal because that can change the width and direction of a warning box. So when you do a report, I'm going to go over how to format them, and I'm going to give you an example report in just a moment. One of the things that you should expect from Net Control Station is minimum reporting criteria. The NCS is responsible for setting that. Minimum reporting criteria can fluctuate wildly throughout a net, but it should have some coherence to it. So if the NCS station is being cryptic, if it's an appropriate time, by all means, ask for clarification. Other than that, the Net Control Station is supposed to define it and keep it up to date. Expect things like your wind speed, hail sizes to change, okay? We may start asking for hail at pea size and eventually say, I only want dime size or I only want nickel size. If you fall below that parameter, sit on it. Don't take up time to report something that doesn't match criteria. It is important, though, that you constantly maintain the frequency that the net is on. We have had problems in the past with people operating multiple radios, and what they've been doing, so they can have a side chat over another frequency, they turn down their Skywarn radio. So what happens there is the minimum reporting criteria may have been adjusted, they don't know it, and then suddenly they're not in compliance with it. They may think nothing's been going on, make a report, key up while somebody else is talking, and then it causes all kinds of different problems with the audio. So maintain your volume and listen and monitor closely what's going on. One of the other things is net control station may have to tell you, dude, you got to move now. You're in trouble, or you're in a bad spot or potential bad spot. So part of it's to keep you safe as well. So let me talk about the format of the report that you're going to make. And there are some key elements to it. The first thing we want you to do before you ever fire off your call sign to get net control's attention is we want you to think about your report first. You want to format this report in your mind. Part of what we have to do is be short, concise, and get off the radio so we can maintain that quiet net. So think about what you've got in your head, and I'm going to give you the criteria in just a second. Then you're going to key up and say your call sign. Wait to be acknowledged by net control, and that is important. You may not know if the net control has some sort of priority going. You may have the weather service key in right after you did, and they're going to tell you, please wait, National Weather Service, go. If you hear something like that, obviously the priority is different. So wait to be acknowledged by net control before you fire off your report. Your report must consist of your location, okay? And when we're talking about the location, don't give us cross streets first. The Weather Service doesn't have the ability to drill down to a street level that you and I know, but they may not know. And I'll tell you, most of the Weather Service people, they're doing good to get to TWU for our Skywarn training class, let alone finding some of these side streets in Corinth or Denton or Aubrey or whatever you have. Your location will be relative to a town. So for example, if you are on I-35 north of Denton, you're going to say, I am 2 miles north of Denton on Interstate 35. Okay? Then the next thing you're going to say in that report is the direction that you're looking and your best estimate of the distance to the phenomena that you are reporting, okay? You need those elements there because you've got that distance and the Weather Service needs that. Give your report. Make sure you meet minimum reporting criteria, guys. I can't say that enough. When you are done and your transmission with your call sign, got to keep you legal because Part 97 still comes into play here. After you unkeyed, wait for net control in case they need to do follow-up or the Weather Service needs a follow-up. The only other thing I wish to add to all this is when you key up, key your microphone, then take a breath. We need time for the repeater, both the voter systems, the PL tone, and all that, to all lock in, because if you just key up and start talking, you will lose about the first half second. That could be your prefix of your call sign. That could be your location, things like that. So when you key up, take a breath, then give that report that you formatted inside your head. So the next thing I wanted to cover on that is if you have an emergency, the only time you are to ever use the pro sign break, break. Again, the only time you are ever supposed to use the pro sign break, break is if you have an immediate threat to life or property or a tornado. We reserve break, break as an emergency pro sign specifically for nets. Now, recently a question was brought up at the Lake Louisville Club. I wasn't able to attend it, but Gerald had fielded the question. When is it appropriate to use your cell phone, or what is appropriate to be run over the repeater? if you see a traffic accident, somebody's in danger or something like that, use your cell phone. Get it to 911 because that's going to be quicker. If you don't have a cell phone, then you would run it through the radio. But if you have a cell phone and you have something that's life-threatening, like a car accident, a house fire, pole on a car, high water rescue, something of that nature, use your cell phone first. It will be quicker. If you have a storm report, though, bring it to the Skywarn net. Don't call 911 because it's going to be delayed because 911 has their processes that they have to go through. And now you're forcing them, if they're going to do it at all, to send a report back to the National Weather Service. They have the phone number, but do they have the time? Remember, 911's there for a specific reason. The Skywarn net's there for a specific reason. So just to reiterate, if it's a weather phenomenon, bring it to the radio net. If you have, you know, a car accident, you know, somebody needing a high water rescue, something like that, call 911. One of the things that causes problems for net control in the National Weather Service and other spotters, and it's been so bad at one point in time, and we actually lost some people, is tailgating. I cannot stress enough, wait for the courtesy tone. You don't have to wait for the repeater tail to drop, or, you know, the repeater on key. Let the courtesy tone fire. There is a pause in there on purpose, and when the courtesy tone executes, you hear that sound, all the timers have been reset. You don't have to let our repeater system completely drop carrier, okay? Tailgating's bad in traffic. Tailgating is just as bad on a radio net. It keeps us from having that quiet net. Adhere to minimum reporting criteria. It's there for a reason. It's another, we want to keep the repeater quiet feature, okay? If you haven't heard minimum reporting criteria, ask net control. It is their responsibility to set it. It's their responsibility to repeat it frequently, but not too frequently. Depending on what we have going on, again, it could be very, very flexible. So be adhering to minimum reporting criteria, okay? I've had recent incidences happen on the air where minimum reporting criteria was nickel-sized hail. We had people reporting pea-sized hail, and that was time off of the repeater. So to reiterate how you're going to do your report, again, give your call sign, wait to be acknowledged by net control. Once net control station has acknowledged your station, give that report that you formulated in your head before you keyed up, okay? Remember to take the key up and then take a breath before you start talking. Short, concise, to the point, say your call sign, unkey, wait to be acknowledged by net control. Please don't tailgate, okay? So all of this goes into keeping the repeater quiet and getting good information through the net. We want to keep the repeater quiet, number one, to help the National Weather Service keep their noise levels down, but we also have stations that could be weak signal or might have emergency traffic. And you don't want a stronger station that's got a bunch of non-relevant information being put on the net because it causes these delays. Remember, we are considered to be the ground truth on all of this, and we want to get this information to the National Weather Service, again, our customer, accurately, quickly. It can make the difference between a warning being issued, a warning being canceled, or a warning being extended. For those of you that have an amateur radio call sign but you're not a member of the areas group, I'll say this again. You do not have to be a member to be active in Skywarn. You do not have to be a member of the club, a club, any club, a member of Aries, or a member of RACES. We will take your report. Now, we want them to be accurate. We want them to be concise, to the point, and to work for so we can all be efficient. One of the reasons amateur radio exists is public service. And this is where, particularly in our part of the country, we play a major role. We're not just bike rides and walkathons or contests. We also have that public service element, and most of our stuff happens locally through things like Skywarn, okay? So I appreciate everybody that participates in this. We get a lot of compliments about how Denton County does their Skywarn effort. The one thing that I make sure to tell everybody is that this isn't the guy show. This isn't the Gerald show or the Andrew or the Matthew or the Robert or whoever. It's not a one-person show, okay? Personally, I consider myself very fortunate to have the group of people that we have in Denton County that participate and how well they participate. We have been told repeatedly that if you want to see how it's done and done right, you look to Denton County and see how they do their Skywarn, okay? That to me is the biggest compliment we could ever have. But one of the things when somebody says something to me, "Guy, you guys do it great," I tell them, I'm just a traffic cop. It's these guys out in the field that, whether they're mobile or home, they get these reports. They get this to us so we can get it to the weather service. They're doing the data collection. They are the workers, and they are the most important people. I can't stress that enough. As operators, you've invested your personal time and efforts into the Skywarn training classes and participating in these nets. That adds an incredible amount of value that nobody could ever put a dollar amount on. And for those efforts, I say thank you, okay? Thank you so much for what it is you do. The Weather Service thanks you. Denton County Emergency Services thanks you. And all of the cities inside Denton County. And think about it this also. We get information that happens in our county is used to help warn Grayson, Fannin, Cook, Collin, sometimes Dallas County. Those people are looking and listening to us, or they're watching the chat that we are logged into for emergency managers, and they see that information, and it helps get them staged up. That's how important this really is, so your volunteer efforts really are appreciated. For the public, you're kind of that unknown soldier out there, help keeping them safe. So if you're new to the Skywarn effort, you've never done it before, you just got your amateur radio license, hey, thank you very much for putting in the time, at least to even listen to you, so you can get an idea of what it is we do and what we, you know, how we operate. If you're very interested in getting involved in this, we prefer for the first year, if at all possible, that you get you paired up with somebody that's already done this. You get exposure to someone who's going to Elmer you on how the net is run, how the data is gathered, what it is you should and shouldn't report. It adds what I would consider lab time to your in-class time that you spend, whether it was online or with the National Weather Service. Now, I will tell you this. If you want to be getting the Skywarn activations, you do need to be an ARES member for that. That is something that I request if you want that activation page that we send out. Otherwise, you can monitor the repeater to see if anything's going on. One of the things I do recommend, particularly in the spring season, is that you check at least twice a day with the National Weather Service website out of Fort Worth and the Severe Storms Lab site out of Norman, Oklahoma. Just look those up in Google. You'll find the URLs for them. For the local National Weather Service office, go to www.weather.gov/FWD. Again, www.weather.gov/FWD. That will take you to the Fort Worth office. The National Severe Storms Lab, Google it, you will find it, and you will get things like the convective outlook. Keep an eye on those things. If you see whether it's marginal, slight, moderate risk type of scenarios, keep your handy-talkie with you, okay? Use that to monitor. Not everybody's keen about getting pages. Your cell phone plan, you don't want to burn it up, or maybe you just don't want it. But please monitor the weather, particularly in the storm season. Summer's a little rougher because we get these popcorn type cells that don't all, they're spontaneous, so there's not much I can do about that. But again, if you want to receive our Skywarn activation pages, that I do request you be an ARES member. That would be a Skywarn class every 2 years, and ICS 100 and 700, okay? I appreciate everybody checking into the net tonight. I'm going to return the repeater to the net control station. Feel free to ask any questions you might have during the questions and comments phase of this net.